Well, we're living in some exciting times. But you know what? God's not nervous. And His presence is peace. In His presence is fullness of joy. Remember someone once said that joy is peace dancing. And the kingdom is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God invites us into His presence. We come by way of the precious blood of Jesus poured out for us, not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but also to give us access to Him so we can be holy. You know, He makes me holy. How many know that Jesus is our holiness? Hallelujah. God's trying to get us off of ourselves, over ourselves, so we'll trust in Him. So how many have decided to follow Jesus here? Decided to go all the way with Him? How many have realized that your way isn't the good way? It doesn't work. No, it doesn't satisfy you. All right. So God is getting us ready. That's the title of today's message. God is getting us ready. Are you ready to go? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, verse 12, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. What is God getting us ready for? He's getting us ready for eternity. He's getting us ready actually to reign with Him. And in order for us to reign with Him, we must first train with Him. In order for us to reign with Him, we must first what? Train with Him. We're supposed to do life together with Jesus. We're supposed to be yoked up together with Him and doing life together. And He will train us. He will teach us His ways. He will lead us in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even as the Lord Jesus had submitted Himself to the Father, amen, and walked with the Father, so we also are to submit ourselves to our Lord as well. Amen? And follow Him. You know, when you join the army, anybody here done any time in the service? Done your time, yeah, in the service? Before you can bear the title of soldier, you must first go through this thing called basic training, boot camp. And before you can bear that name, all right? And so there's a training process that you must go through before you can become a soldier. All right? It's very important. You don't just show up one day and say, sign me up, I want to be a soldier. Now, in some countries, they do that. And you can tell by the way they function on the battlefield, right, that they haven't had any training. Amen. In fact, I saw one of these militia groups. The guy had his red dot scope on backwards. Yes. I wonder how well that was going to work for him. But, you know, you got these people, that these wannabes, you know, that they don't really know what they're doing. They're not adults, okay? They're children playing army, playing war, playing militia, whatever. Amen. How many know that God wants us to unite ourselves with Him in His army? Amen. Place ourselves under His authority as He is our commander in chief, and we are to be good soldiers, right, of Jesus. But in order for us to receive rank and to be promoted and to be entrusted, amen, with responsibility, we must first train. And we must begin at the beginning. And we must desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby, right? So it starts out with prayer and the word of God, amen, and then practicing the word. Very important, all right, that we're not just hearers only, but we are what? Doers. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. So we need to practice this thing called faith, all right? Faith is not passive, but it's active. It's a verb. It means that I am engaged with Jesus in His ministry here in the earth. All right. It's not enough to say, I believe in God, because even the demons believe in God. Right. But it means that I believe in God and therefore I'm going to submit myself to His authority. I'm going to listen to His voice and I'm going to walk together with Him in this life. Amen. And together we're going to grow. Amen. I'm going to grow as I hook up with Him. Amen. Who knows the way? Who's the stronger of the two? And in order for me to reign, I must first train under his authority. If you don't learn how to submit yourself to God's authority, then you're not going to be entrusted with the greater riches of the kingdom. That's how it works. There is a connection between what you do in the natural and the supernatural. Okay? God's getting us ready. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. Now, it doesn't mean that he sinned. But it means that as a man, he was also God, 100% God, but also 100% man. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Amen. He became a man. God became a man in the incarnation, right? But in his humanity, Jesus had to learn obedience. He had to learn the discipline of daily submission to the Father's will. Following so far? In Hebrews 5:8, it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, how many knows that when it talks about suffering, there's discipline? Discipline requires suffering. Did you know that? Discipline means I have to deny myself something or some comfort in order to accomplish something of greater value. So it's not enough just to have, you know, we kind of like the easy road, right? We just want to skate along and we don't want to have to go through anything, but we want to be something. You know, children are like that. They got these visions of what it's like to be an adult. They all want to play grown up, you know, because we want to, God put that in them, amen, to want to grow up, amen. But there's a process to growing up. Can somebody say amen? So you got to go through the process spiritually of growing up, and you got to start, amen, with the Word of God and submitting to the Lord daily, practicing what you're learning. Amen. And as God sees that you are a faithful steward over what he has entrusted to you, then he will increase your responsibility. And with responsibility comes greater perks. And you say, amen, there are blessings even to responsibility. Some people are envious of people, for example, that have money. Okay, that are, but these people have paid a price. Usually they have sacrificed, amen, and they've worked hard. They've done what they needed to do to make money so that they could be successful, okay? And then you got some people that look at that and they're envious of that, and they think, well, you've got that. You should give it to me. You shouldn't have it. I should have it too. Well, why don't you look at their example and say, well, what did they do to get to where they're at? Did they just show up one day? Well, in some cases, maybe they were born into it. But in most cases, people have to work. Anybody here beside myself have to work? You have to earn a living, right? But there's a reward, there's a blessing, and knowing that what you have received is something that you earned through hard work. And it took discipline, and discipline requires some amount of suffering. You know, you may not be feeling good today, but you got to get out of bed. You may have the sniffles, but you got to get to work. Amen. It may be raining outside, but you got to go to work. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to go hungry. You see, there's a lot of people that just expect things to be offered and handed to them. They don't understand the value of things because they haven't earned it. They haven't worked for it. One of the things my dad taught me when I was a kid is that there's value to things. And in order for you to get what you want, you're going to have to go to work for it. And even my dad, sometimes he'd give me chores. We had chores, and chores were chores, okay? Whether you got paid or not, you had to do your chores. But then there were additional things that I wanted, you know? And my dad, amen, would say, well, if you want that, I'll meet you halfway. But you go out and you cut grass, you do what you got to do. Shovel snow in the Northeast. I shoveled a lot of snow. It was lucrative. But you do what you got to do in order to receive the blessing. Are you hearing me, somebody? In spiritually speaking, we are actually co-laborers, come on, together with Christ. Some people think, well, it's not of works. Yeah, actually, it is of works too. There's a partnership with God. True faith requires an action, a work on our part. All right? Repentance requires my obedience. That means I have to deny myself, give up some things that maybe I thought were good for me, but God says they're not, and therefore I have to learn the obedience, amen, and discipline myself and say, God says no, it's no for me. Are you hearing me? Well, I don't want to do, I just want it now. I want everything now. I want it easy. I don't want to have to suffer for anything. People who have achieved in this world are people that have paid a price for that achievement. Of course, nowadays, everybody gets a trophy, you know. Are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, we just give everybody. So poor little Johnny doesn't have a blow to his ego. So everybody gets, even the losers get a trophy today. What that does is it steals or takes away their incentive to achieve. That's socialism. So everybody, no matter what you are, who you are, and how you're gifted, and whatever you've invested, you always get the same pay. Well, that sounds like a great idea, I guess, to somebody who's just lazy and doesn't want to work. Just give me the free stuff. Oh, you want my freedom for that? Here's my freedom. Just give me the free stuff. And the devil says, okay, we'll make a deal. You give me your freedom, I'll give you the free stuff. You understand what's happening here? God is saying, I want you to partner with me. I have a plan. I have a purpose for your life. But you're going to have to partner with me. And you're going to have to give up some of your rights. You're going to have to deny yourself to take up your cross to follow me. And if you would follow me, if you will obey me, if you'll endure, you shall also one day reign with me. Do you understand? God is training us for reigning with him. And so what we do in the natural is connected to the supernatural or to the spiritual. It says in Luke 2 and 52, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature as a man, right? As a boy growing up and in favor with God and men. So Jesus learned obedience experimentally as the son who was always subject to his father's will. And Jesus was totally obedient to the father's will throughout his time on the earth. In fact, he was even obedient to the father's will in suffering. Do you understand that we are called also to suffer with him in this world? If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, it will involve suffering. There will be opposition. You won't be the most popular kid on the block. People of the world will hate you if you live for Jesus. People who don't want the truth will despise the truth and anyone who speaks the truth. Yeah. So we have to make up our mind who we're going to serve. Are we going to just spend it all here and now and get the freebie from the devil? Or are we going to give ourselves up now, live for him and live for eternity? Come on, somebody. We need to be preparing, amen, for that day when we see Jesus. Amen. And then that day, the Lord will reward those who have been faithful. For those who have endured, they will also be given positions of responsibility in the eternal kingdom of our God. Eternal kingdom of our God. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus is born to reign on the earth. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Here's a child and a son. What does that mean? A child, amen, born of Mary, born of a virgin, amen, a man, amen, and flesh, amen, and a son, the son of what? God. Son of man, son of God. Jesus, man, the Christ. Jesus Christ, the God-man. And the government will be upon whose shoulder? His shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Here's the deity of our Lord. Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Where? He's going to rule on the throne of David. Where's that located in the earth? In Jerusalem. Even the wise men, they knew Jesus was destined to be a king. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? They got a revelation, didn't they? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So whenever we put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the authority and the power that it was lost through Adam's transgression is restored to us. When we trust in the Lord, when we place ourselves under his authority, are you hearing me, somebody? Then that which Adam had lost is restored to us. Adam lost his rightful place. as a steward over the earth. God gave him dominion, didn't he, over the earth. And when Adam sinned, he lost that. It was usurped by Satan. Amen. Jesus Christ came, amen, and he restored us. Hallelujah. Back to the Father, back to righteousness, back to fellowship with the Father. Hallelujah. And he now calls us in Christ sons and daughters. We're not just servants of the Lord. We're actually family in the new birth. Amen. When you're born again, you become one of his children. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Not a patch up of the old, not an improvement upon the old, but a new creation. You're born again. And I become a child of God. And then my Father begins to minister to me. He begins to speak to me. He begins to teach me. He begins to direct my steps. Amen. If I acknowledge my Father and I ask him for guidance, for wisdom every day, he said he would direct my path. He'd make it straight. Hallelujah. If we really trust the Lord, we'll ask him for help. When we really trust the Lord, we'll rely upon him for strength, for wisdom, for power every day. When we're trusting the Lord, we'll obey his voice. Can't say you trust the Lord and not obey him. I'm going to say it again. You can't say you trust the Lord and not obey him. So when you place yourself under his authority, then God gives you authority and power. Hebrews 2 and verse 5 says this, and furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. See, in this passage of Scripture, it shows the difference between angels and the Son of God, Jesus. Verse 6, and in one place the Scripture says, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them, who? Humanity, with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made. You gave them authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not seen all things put under their authority, have we? No. So positionally in Christ, we are raised up together with him, seated in the heavenly places. Amen. And God has given us authorization, amen, to reign with him on the earth. And as a priesthood to call in his kingdom reign. To change things. How many know that prayer changes things? So what we do see now is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, that was when he came to earth, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Praise God for that. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Jesus tasted death. He tasted this life. He knows what it's like to live on the earth. He suffered. Amen? He can sympathize with you. Even in the things that you suffer in this world, the Lord has a heart of compassion for you. He cares about you. He will weep along with you. He will help you through if you trust him. But you need to understand that there are things that you have to endure. There are things that you have to go through because what's required for greatness in the kingdom is discipline. And God will discipline his children. Amen. God will allow things to happen. God will allow tests to come our way for the purpose of what? Promotion. You can't be promoted without a test. You can't have a testimony without a test. Can you say amen? So God wants you and I to understand that the things that we endure in this world, amen, are actually preparation for what will be. God is training us for reigning with him. So in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus that concerns you. Amen. We should be thankful that God is with us. God is for us. Amen. God is working out His plan in my life, even through the things that we suffer. God is very much involved in your life. He's working things together for your good. If you're called according to His purpose, if you're a child of His, He's going to work all these things. Amen. The good, the bad, the ugly, He's going to work it all together for your good. Amen. For in the end, amen, we'll be the finished product, and God will have a people that have been perfectly trained just like Him. Amen. And now we can enter into our reward someday. You see, folks, it's not all about this life, is it? It's not all about this temporary time we have here. It's all about eternity. See, God is preparing a people for eternity, isn't He? So He's getting us ready. And so what we experience in the natural has a correlation to the spiritual, all right? All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:25 says, "For He, Jesus, must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet." Now, we know that the final enemy to be destroyed is death. Amen? So now He's sitting where? At the right hand of the Father, until all things are placed under His feet. Philippians 2:8 says, "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above" what? Every name. Amen. All names. Now, Jesus was born for what purpose? To bear witness to the truth, but He was born to reign. He was born to reign. And we are born again to reign with Him. You see, because His feet are part of His body and we are the body of Christ, therefore God intends that we should reign under the headship of Jesus. He's placed what? All things under His feet. Amen. If we are His body, that means we are to be submitted to the head. Amen. You don't want to have a body that's not connected to the head. That would be dysfunctional, wouldn't it? You know, Revelation 2 and verse 26 says, "And He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." God is preparing a people for eternity. If we are faithful, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. And with responsibility, amen, comes greater blessings. Jesus was not born on the throne. He was born, amen, in a manger, wasn't He? Lowly estate. And likewise, the process for us to reign with Him also begins in humility and servanthood. It begins with submission to the Lordship of Christ. You understand? Guys, if we want to be great in the kingdom, Jesus said you must be what? Servant of all. Man, we're not here to reign over people, to rule over people. We're here to serve the body of Christ. Leaders, amen, are to serve the body of Christ under His authority, amen, as the Lord directs. Otherwise, we're dysfunctional if we're not connected to the head. You know, you can read books about ministry and follow those books, but if God's not in it, it's dead. Amen? People learn how to do ministry, and they can do ministry without God involved in it. There are people that teach Sunday school classes without God involved at all. They read out of a curriculum book, and the kids are dying on the vine. They're bored, stiff, because there's no life in it. Are you hearing me, somebody? That can be a real turnoff. Amen. Our children need to encounter. They need to experience the power of God, the reality of Jesus Christ, the quickening power of Jesus in their lives. Amen. That's going to change their minds and change their hearts forever. Hallelujah. They're going to say, God is real. Amen. When people come to church here, they should come in. If they're unbeliever, they're going to say, something is happening in this place. Something real is happening here. Amen. I feel something that's greater than human beings here. Amen. God is here. Amen. His Spirit is here. The angelic hosts are around us. Hallelujah. Even right now. Do you know that? The ministering spirits that God has given to those who are heirs of salvation. Did you know God has assigned angels to us? Yes, we know that, don't we? We don't worship the angels, but they're there to help, to serve. Amen. God's more interested in our character than our comfort. He's more interested in our character than our comfort. You know, let's face it, in America, we know what comfort is. And we like comfort. We get comfortable in our comfort. We can sit before the boob tube 24/7 and drink pop and eat popcorn and put your feet up and your body just turns to mush. Your head turns into mush too. I mean, you know, the devil wants to rob you of your purpose. He wants you just to waste your life away. He wants to get you involved in fantasy and game playing and things that have no part of eternity. They equal zero in eternity. Why? Because he's a thief. So he'll try to come up with some counterfeit to the plan of God, to the purpose of God for you, to get you distracted, to waste your life. Because guess what? It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Every one of us are going before him to judgment. And that's the day when everything that you have invested, everything that you've given up for him, amen, everything that you were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, you're willing to be obedient, you're willing to deny yourself that you might take up your cross and follow him and do his will. In that day, the Lord will look at you, and I pray me too, and say, well done. That's going to be our reward right there, to see Jesus smiling. That's going to be my reward right there. Oh, I know who you are. You see, some of them he's going to say, I don't know who you are. Oh, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? I don't know who you are. You did your own thing. You see, those who have authority are under his authority. God wants us to learn obedience too, just like Jesus, through the trials of life. Before we can reign with Jesus, we've got to be prepared in advance. That's what we call discipleship. Amen? Go and make disciples. He didn't say go and make church attenders. He says go and make followers of me. As you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Amen? And then, amen, then they can follow your example as you follow me. Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. You and I are to be an example. Did you know that? Of course. We're to be an example for others. When they look at your life, the world should say, now there's a follower of Jesus. There's a Christian. They're not just talking a lot, because some people can talk a lot. Some people got Christianese down to a science. You know, they can speak it fluently. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. How's it going? Oh, great, great, great. You know, it's funny. Sometimes you can, you know, we're talking church, but I've been in some churches that really, they talk a lot, you know, while the pastor's preaching, they're responding, right, amen, and everything. And I dig that, man. That's good. It helps the people preaching, amen. But encourages them, all right? But the problem is sometimes is people aren't listening anymore. They're just on autopilot. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right? And then he says something foolish. Amen. Because they're not even listening anymore. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, amen. What did I just say? You know, God doesn't take a newborn and put him into spiritual authority, right? He's placed under spiritual guardians and mentors. We need guardians and we need mentors. Can you say amen? And this is the purpose of the fivefold ministry. You guys are familiar with this, Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, some prophets. Amen. We're going to have a prophet tonight. There's prophets here. And some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. In other words, you can't come into unity of the faith by yourself. It requires the working of God's body together for you to become mature. And to become healthy as a believer. Did you know that? I can offer you so much, amen? But you also need the gifts that other people have. And we should all be about our Father's business, amen? Outside of these walls. every day, the people we work with. You can call brothers and sisters, amen? You can even Skype them or Zoom them if you want to these days. But you can connect. And God has something, amen, for every one of us. He invests in us, and he wants us to be good stewards over that which he's invested. So we've got to realize that much of the preparation that goes into reigning in eternity is in our natural day-to-day lives. And our trials come to make us strong. You see, some people, they separate the two. They think, well, I'm doing my church thing now. And then I'm doing my secular job, my secular life. And then I leave my secular life and I go to the church life on Sunday. Right? And how many know that's, you're totally missing the point. Should we gather? Yes. Should we worship together? Yes. Should we be edified? Should we receive teaching? Yes. But you and I are called, right, to wherever we are in this world to bloom, right? To bear fruit, to glorify the Lord. If you're a mechanic, amen, you can be a witness on the job, amen. Whatever you guys are called to do, hallelujah. Minister to your children. You're at home with your children all day. There's a great opportunity for you to invest in your children, training them in the way they should go. Do you know, too many cases, the parents are not teaching their children, and they're expecting the church to be able to give them an hour on Sunday, maybe, all right, to disciple their children, and they're not doing anything at home to reinforce it. And those kids, sometimes they grow up, there's just not enough. They're being bombarded with all the other stuff. All right, that's coming through the secular media and from their schools and from their teachers and the things that the ideals and the values they want to sow into them, amen. And the parents are doing nothing. They're leaving that up for somebody else to do it, somebody else to train their children. And guess what? We've got a generation that's been raised up, amen, on all the garbage that the world is spewing out right now. I saw this illustration and I thought it was good. They showed a picture of a child throwing a tantrum on the floor of the store. I tell you what, if I was throwing a tantrum on the floor of a store, that was going to end abruptly with my parents. Anyway, they wouldn't let me get away with that. Why? Because they were training me. They were disciplining me, amen. There was going to be a couple hours, amen, on the process, but it was necessary for me to learn, you don't act like that. I want you to become an adult, all right? And now we've got people that say, oh, you don't need to discipline your children. Just let them throw that temper tantrum. And now you've got 20s and 30-year-olds throwing temper tantrums, laying down in the street. That's exactly what's going on. How many know the Word of God works? We need to listen to what God said. Quit being foolish. Quit listening to the world and their philosophy. But God gives us this thing called self-discipline. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Think of it. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 9:27? But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul knew that in his humanity, he had weakness too. He could fall. So he had to discipline himself. And how do you do that? He had to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to give him self-control. Amen. To say no to temptation, to say no to sin. Lest even after he had preached to others, he himself could be entrapped in sin. Are you hearing me, somebody? I've seen some people that were very solid in the Lord, walked with the Lord many years, that have just fallen away, completely gone off the deep end. Now, God is merciful. If they repent and turn back to him, God will save. Amen. God will pardon. But there are consequences to being rebellious towards the Lord. Can you say amen? So Paul said, I have to discipline my body. You know, how about laziness? We can be prone to laziness, amen? To be lazy, and just sit around and just eat popcorn and, right? Or we can be productive. How about overeating? You got to discipline yourself, amen? You got to know how to push that plate away. Say, that's enough. Flesh, that's enough. Video games. How about saying no to lust, to greed, to hate? Say no to unforgiveness. You know, that's what our nation needs. We need forgiveness. Amen? We need to say yes in a positive to the will of God. Occupy yourself with God's will. Amen? And you don't have time for all the other. You're not going to be focused on other stuff. Hallelujah. Live your life for eternity. Submit yourself to God. Partner with Him. He wants to train you for reigning with Him someday. It's very important, guys, that we behave ourselves before unbelievers. We have to behave ourselves before unbelievers because we represent the Lord. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world. For the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you." If you live your life correctly, in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord every day, amen, doing what is honorable in the sight of unbelievers, amen, even though they may try to accuse you of something, they don't have anything on you. Do you not see that in the political arena right now? People are bringing up false accusations against each other. You know, if somebody brings up an accusation against my wife, first of all, they'll be picking themselves up off the ground. No, I'm just... But if somebody brings a false accusation against my wife, you know, well, I know my wife. We've been married a long time. I know her character. Amen? So I can know whether or not that's something she would do. All right? Likewise, you and I should live such lives, amen, among those who are outside, that if somebody were to accuse us of something, you say, that's not the same person I know. How many have seen that in some of these crime scene investigations, right? Where they'll ask people, the neighbors, say, well, he always seemed like a nice guy. Now, that's always not the case, right? Sometimes a nice guy was the weirdo, but, you know. But they need to look at our lives and say, you know what? I don't find anything to accuse this person. When Jesus was before Pilate, there was nothing. They had nothing on him. He was a perfectly innocent man, amen? He lived a holy life. His entire being, amen, was holy. And he was sinless because he had to become our sacrifice. And that sacrifice had to become sinless, had to be sinless, amen. And so the Lord, even though, amen, they accused him of wrongdoing, they could not find anything wrong with him. But nonetheless, they gave in to the Jews. They released Barabbas and they said, well, give us Jesus. He said, we want him crucified. Do you understand? When we partner with Jesus, the world may say the same thing someday. They may say, release the criminal and let the innocent one be crucified in his place. Do you not see that happening today? Right now, we're seeing a reversal of things where good is being called evil and evil is being called good. Hallelujah. We need to partner with Jesus and we need to understand that we're going to go through stuff and we will go through stuff, but it's preparation for eternity. We are in training right now. We are in the boot camp of eternity. God is getting a people ready. And so submit yourself to God, amen, and to His dealings. In all things, give Him thanks. Know God is with you. God is for you. He's working out a plan, amen. Be faithful in that which He's entrusted to you. Practice your faith day by day. Steps of obedience, simple steps of obedience, amen. He doesn't put too much on you. He just says, I want you to work on this right now. Just start cooperating with God in the process. And as God sees that you are obedient and that you are faithful, He's going to promote you, amen. And He'll give you a greater anointing in your life. that you can bear even more fruit. When he sees that you're willing to submit yourself to his dealings and allow him to prune the stuff out of your life that is unnecessary, that's going to choke you, amen, and rob you of bearing more fruit. God's going to remove some stuff from your lives, amen, but that's not a bad thing. It means that God is just positioning you so you can bear more fruit, amen, unto eternal life, hallelujah, because a day will come when we will see Jesus, hallelujah. So, people of this world cannot understand spiritual things. I've talked to a lot of people who are spiritual. Well, I consider myself a spiritual person. Usually when I hear that, I'm like, okay, what devil are you worshiping? Are you worshiping yourself? You know, which is a devil too, apart from Christ. Think about it. We're born in sin. They consider themselves to be spiritual. But you and I are to be the example that others read. So people of this world, they don't understand spiritual things. What they judge by is what they see in the natural. Why is that important? Because what we do in the natural matters. What we do on the job matters. How we treat our spouse, how we treat our family, how we treat our brother and our sister, how we treat our neighbor matters. Because they're looking at your life as an example of Christ. And if God sees that you are being faithful in that which is least in the natural, then he can make you ruler over much in the supernatural, in the spiritual. Do you want more? You want a promotion from God? Then be faithful. Pay your taxes. Be a good citizen. Obey the laws of the land. Because people of the world, they don't understand spiritual things. And they judge things. Or they observe things from a natural point of view. So we need to be living a clean life, right? For children, that means honoring your parents. You honor your parents, God will promise you long life. There's a promise in that. How about respecting the waitress at the restaurant? I've been embarrassed by some Christians before at a restaurant because the way they treated the waitress. Don't be talking about Jesus, okay, if you're going to treat people like that. Don't dishonor his name. Respect people. Respect all people. How about taking care of your stuff? How about a clean house? A clean car. Why? Because people of the world, they look at these things. I remember driving by some churches and looking at the signs. Paint peeling off them, letters hanging off, steeple all dilapidated, whatever, you know. I'm thinking, what kind of, if that's what it looks like on the outside, I can only imagine what's going on the inside. Now, it may be a different story, but people of the world, they judge by appearance. We know God judges according to the heart, but people of the world judge by appearance. And if you want to be salt and light and be an influence, you guys, we need to behave ourselves and be an example, all right, in the natural things. How about mooching off of others? Slandering, gossiping, speaking evil of our coworkers. Oh, here's one. I can remember doing that very thing as a Christian, as a known Christian, and just kind of had loose lips one day, and I started to speak openly about what I was thinking about somebody. And guess what? Somebody else overheard that. Have you ever been talking about somebody and all of a sudden they show up? They pop into the conversation. Do you understand why we need to watch what we say, right? And you know, guys, I try to practice this, that whenever you talk to somebody or give counsel to somebody, especially if they're talking about somebody else, all right, if they can't go to that person personally and they need somebody just to talk to that person as if that other person is sitting there right with you. That's a good way to do it. So that everything you're saying, you know, would be okay with that person being present. Okay? We need to be very careful how we live towards those, especially who are outside. Because we want to win them to Christ, amen. We don't want to make enemies. It's always better to make a friend. If you can make a friend with somebody and invite them to Jesus, amen. As long as they're not dragging you down. Colossians 3:23 says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. So, often the spiritual work is not going to happen in us until we are producing fruit in the natural areas of our lives. There is a direct correlation between what you do in the natural and the spiritual. Is this making sense? And I know sometimes this just bursts people's super spiritual bubble. Because you got some people that are so spiritual. But then you look at their life, the way they live, they conduct their life. You know, it's all disarray. It's a mess. And yet they're some of the most spiritual people you run into. Is there a problem with that? Yes. Because we are to represent the Lord in everything we do. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all for the glory of God. Amen. The way we keep our house. Amen. Thankfully, I have a wife that knows how to clean, and she takes good care of things at home. Amen. So if somebody were to come into our house, they would say, oh, my word, I had no idea. People of the world judge by what they see. Therefore, we should live our lives in such a manner that we cannot do anything. We will do nothing to offend even people who are unbelievers. All right? So that we might have an audience, that we might win them, amen, and have a chance to share the gospel with them. Is that making sense? All right. If my yard is starting to grow over, and then Paul keeps me straight with that, he makes sure I'm, he reminds me because I forget to water these shrubs out here especially. But you know, if our shrubs are all dying and they're drying up and the paint's peeling and, you know, what are the neighbors going to think? You know, I wonder what's going on. I don't know if I want to see what's going on the inside. Yeah. It's just making sense. I mean, there is a connection to from the natural to the spiritual. If you can't be a good steward over that which is least, then God won't give you the greater riches of the kingdom. That's how it works. If you're a good employee, you're faithful, you're hardworking, you know, you're a good husband, you're a good father, a mother, good wife, you're treating each other right, you're training your children, amen, God sees that. And God will reward that. God will honor that. There's no perfect parents here, but God sees your heart and that you want to partner with him and you want to be the best father, the best husband, the best mother, the best wife you can be. Amen? Even the best child. Amen? Because God looks at that as well. What you're doing today will affect your eternity. Did you know that, guys, young people? What you're sowing today will affect your eternity. I counsel you to repent if you're into anything that says God says no to. Because you're sowing seeds right now. And maybe you're not seeing any fruit of that seed, but that seed eventually will grow. I say, God, forgive me. I repent. And let God take those roots out. Amen. Get your heart right with God. Let him clean house. Hallelujah. Get in right standing with him. And then start to sow the seeds of life. Amen. The word of God. Hallelujah. Good behavior. Bearing good fruit, glorifying the Lord in everything we do in word and in deed. Amen. And the Father will smile upon you. You'll have his favor and you'll have his promotion. And in eternity, hallelujah, God will give you greater, amen, riches. Hallelujah. Even like Jesus said, to reign over 10 cities to the one that was faithful. So in other words, it's not all ending here. How many know that the Lord is coming to rule and to reign? I'm finishing with this. Over all the earth. And to the faithful ones, they will also be with him. They shall also reign with him. Amen. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we endure, right, we'll reign with him. Hallelujah. See, many people, they want to prophesy, heal the sick, raise the dead, perform miracles. And these things we should do as God's people. Can you say amen? But the real question is, how do you handle your day-to-day life in the natural? How do you treat your boss? How do you treat your coworkers? What do you do when no one is watching? Because God is watching. Amen? We want to function in the supernatural, all right? But the real question is, how are you living your life? What's your character like? God's more concerned about your inner person, amen, than your outer person. He's more concerned about your character than your comfort. Amen? And God will have a people who are holy, that are ready when he comes. So know this, that if you're a child of God, God's got discipline, amen, for you, which is good because he's preparing you for something eternal. Hallelujah. Here we had no continuing city, but we look for one to come. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah. The King of righteousness will come and he'll reign. And those of us who have been faithful in that day will be rewarded and we will be united with him. Hallelujah. And we will also reign. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to partner with you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this treasure, Lord, in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of you and not of us. Lord, we don't pretend to have anything except what you've already given us. Lord, we realize we can't do anything without you. Lord, we realize where our strength, where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Father, we look to you today, Holy Father, and we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our lives, Father God, that as it is in heaven, so it will be on the earth. God, prepare us. Make us holy. Make us right, Lord, with you. Lord, make every crooked place straight. God, prepare our hearts. Make our hearts holy. God, that we will be a habitation of you. That you will dwell within us, Lord God. And that we will bear fruit unto eternal life. Strengthen your people, God. Strengthen us by your Spirit in the inner man. We pray in Jesus' name. Teach us how to walk in your ways. Teach us how, Lord, to glorify you every day. Have your way, Father, we pray, with each one of us. Watch over and protect us as we go our separate ways today, Lord. Keep a hedge of protection around us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.